From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 103 and verse 2. Forget not all his benefits. It is a delightful and profitable occupation to mark the hand of God in the lives of ancient saints, and to observe his goodness in delivering them, his mercy in pardoning them, and his faithfulness in keeping his covenant with them. But would it not be even more interesting and profitable for us to remark the hand of God in our own lives? Ought we not to look upon our own history as being at least as full of God, as full of His goodness and of His truth, as much a proof of His faithfulness and veracity, as the lives of any of the saints who have gone before? We do our Lord an injustice when we suppose that He wrought all His mighty acts and showed Himself strong for those in the early time, but does not perform wonders or lay bare His arm for the saints who are now upon the earth. Let us review our own lives. Surely in these we may discover some happy incidents, refreshing to ourselves and glorifying to our God. Have you had no deliverances? Have you passed through no rivers supported by the divine presence? Have you walked through no fires unharmed? Have you had no manifestations? Have you had no choice favors? The God who gave Solomon the desire of his heart, hath he never listened to you and answered your requests? That God of lavish bounty of whom David sang, Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, has he never satiated you with fatness? Have you never been made to lie down in green pastures? Have you never been led by the still waters? Surely the goodness of God has been the same to us as to the saints of old. Let us then weave his mercies into a song. Let us take the pure gold of thankfulness and the jewels of praise and make them into another crown for the head of Jesus. Let our souls give forth music as sweet and as exhilarating as came from David's harp, while we praise the Lord whose mercy endureth forever.
Praise the Holy God of love.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tamassian brings the next portion of a message entitled, A Gospel Church is a Church at Peace. In chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of unity among the people of God. He stresses the necessity of having proper leadership in the church. In particular, he advocates a plurality of leaders, men of proven spiritual character, selected from among the people to exercise oversight of the congregation. These men, called elders, are placed in their position by the Holy Spirit. Their role is to maintain peace in the body through scriptural teaching and correction. Although elders are not to regard themselves as superior to the other people, they are to be respected and esteemed in their office. Now to continue this message, A Gospel Church is a Church at Peace. Here is Pastor Tamassian.
Now the Lord uses superiors. And we touched again and made mention of the fifth commandment way back when we dealt with that. And when our larger catechism deals with this aspect of the fifth commandment, it talks about superiors, inferiors, and equals. And when it uses the term superiors, it's not talking like they are people of more value. The idea of superiors relates to the fact that they are more experienced, they are of greater age, or of greater gift. And the idea is not to say that they're more valuable in that sense, that they matter more than others, but they just have something that lifts them above in terms they could be older, or more experienced, or have gift. And we are to recognize such, that they are, at times, when they're assigned to certain places within the body of Christ, when they are elders and teachers within the body of Christ, they are over you in the Lord. They are leading you in the Lord. And this is understood. I don't want to get into the whole aspect of church government here, but it has been encouraging to see what appears to me a revival in getting to understanding church government a little more. Many of our Baptist brethren are discovering a plurality of elders as a form of leadership in the church and moving away from this kind of more popish leadership where you have one man at the helm and he calls the shots and he's leading the way and then the buck stops with him, and they're moving away from that. And I'm glad for that. I'm very thankful to see that, because it is not about one person. There's meant to be a plurality that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. These individuals are appointed by the Lord. They're delegated by Jesus Christ. In fact, when Paul speaks to the elders at Ephesus, he says to them in Acts 20:28 that the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The Holy Ghost. In the appointment of those that are over or leading those in the body of Christ, they are those that are led by the Spirit, that the Spirit has been involved in that appointment process. Turn with me for a minute to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As Paul is dealing with the oversight, it is in the context of peace. And you can see how it comes out in Ephesians chapter 4 as well. I'll read the opening three verses just so you see what he's beginning to deal with. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now that's the driving thrust of what he is aiming to teach them, that there's to be a desire for unity and peace, verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 6, he addresses the doctrine that establishes unity and peace. And you can see the Trinity coming out in those few verses. And then in verses 17 through 32, to the end of the chapter, he addresses that which puts in danger the unity and peace of the church. So from verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Again, you see, verse 1, ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Verse 17, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And he goes on to deal with those matters that threaten peace, that threaten that which he is pushing them to endeavor to keep, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These things threaten. And in the middle, and what I'm showing you is the relationship between the beginning of the chapter and as you progress through the chapter, when you come to the heart of it, you have those individuals that are helpers in the church, and part of their responsibility is to maintain peace. And so, in verses 7 through 16, it is, where Paul directs his mind to the ascended Christ, who has given gifts unto men, verse 8, and he has ascended, and what has he done? He has given, verse 11, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And verses 12 through 16, he shows what they're working toward to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. And it is pulling together the body. This is the point. It's pulling the body together. So you could say, really, Ephesians 4 is about peace within the church, the striving for peace and unity. and the doctrine that makes it possible and makes it necessary, and the various matters that put it in danger, and then those individuals that the Lord has appointed to help sustain that unity and peace by their teaching and instruction and example. Now, this is what is brought out, therefore, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's helpers to the peace. That's the point. That Christ has given helpers to maintain peace within the body of Christ. And so we read verse 12. Think of that context. Read verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He's endeavoring to apply the necessity of peace within the body of Christ and how elders relate to that aim. A couple of things to note here. First, these helpers of peace have responsibility. They have responsibility. We're told in verse 12 that they are them that labor among you. They labor. Their ministry is work. It is toil. In the case of the pastor, it is constant study. It is preparing and delivering sermons, Bible studies, counseling, discipling, instructing, baptizing, marrying, burying, and so on and so forth. This is the heart of the work, constantly endeavoring to, again, prepare people for the work of the ministry and pulling them together, maintaining harmony within the body of Christ, and getting everyone driving in the same direction, that direction which honors the Lord. The elders that oversee, along with the teaching elder, often they have their employment, but they still have their responsibilities within the body of Christ, and they labor. And these individuals, those that labor among you, they are never perfect. Never. They are never perfect. They're always collectively learning and growing, just as each man is individually. If anyone has aspirations for a perfect leadership in the church, you're not going to find it. It's not there. And what is sad is that as we think about leadership in the church, often people will avoid it. They don't want to be leaders. They will never consider themselves an option when it comes to this aspect of the work of God. They want to avoid it at all costs. It's much easier to be an armchair critic than it is to actually be involved in the work. And even if you're not a critic, it takes work and labor, and people want to avoid such responsibility and scrutiny. And yet, beloved, it is a necessary part. Anyone who cares for the body of Christ will live in such a way to make themselves an option when it comes to leadership in the church. The requirements for being an elder are, for the most part, fairly straightforward. The requirements that every Christian should aspire to. They're not high and lofty ideals that are only a select few ever reach. They're, for the most part, fairly basic. And if you have any desire to live the Christian life to the glory of God, you, for the most part, will meet those requirements. And then it is a good thing to desire the office of an elder. As we have it translated in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Often he doesn't feel himself necessarily equipped for the work, but he sees the need for it. He understands how it is required. And he looks at the body of Christ and he makes himself available to help that body in which he finds himself. Now, every body is different. And I talk about every local church body is different. And I remember learning that and seeing that for the first time, really, when we moved to Canada. And we had been members of an established congregation in Northern Ireland that had been going for a long time. And you looked at the elders and you had in your mind, you kind of like, this is what elders look like in the church. And you had this kind of view of them. And I went to Calgary and you start thinking about, well, we need to be working toward oversight in the church and leadership in the church. And I realized, there's no one here, at least there are very few, if anyone here, that is like the vast majority of the men that were elders in the church that we came from. And I remember wrestling with that. I mean, are the ideals of what I have learned, what I have seen and witnessed in the church that I was a member of, are those the lofty ideals, and you can only encourage men to step into office when they reach that level? I mean, some of these men could teach the Word of God better than some ministers. And I'm not exaggerating or using hyperbole there. I mean men who really know the Word, studies that are vaster than many ministers, and very mature, very developed, very knowledgeable. And then you come to this little congregation, and there's no one there like that, at least for the most part. And you're saying, what are you to do? Well, you realize that actually the standards and the requirements in the Word of God aren't for these lofty ideas. Sure, certainly there are mighty men that sometimes come to the fore, and as a community develops and grows and gets established, you're going to have more developed and mature men maybe come to the fore. But you have to realize, what has God provided? What men are here? Because when you read the New Testament, you see the Apostle Paul putting this emphasis upon ordaining elders, that there must be oversight. In fact, when he writes to Titus, I've maybe pointed this out on other occasions, when he writes to Titus in Titus chapter 1, he actually rebukes Titus because he's writing to him, telling him to do what he told him to do in the first place, the reason why he was in Crete in the beginning. He sent him to Crete. Why? To ordain elders. And now he's writing an epistle telling Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest ordain elders. And he's basically saying, Titus, why haven't you done it yet? Why haven't you done it? You need to get elders in the church, lead the congregation so that there is oversight in the body. And when you read through the book of Acts, you see again the same emphasis, Paul striving, there must be leadership in the church. And we may look at it, analyze it, examine it, and ask, why is it that necessary? Is it that important? But at the very least, without studying it, the pattern of the New Testament puts such an emphasis upon it that even if we don't understand all the whys and wherefores, we must be striving to maintain a plurality of oversight in the body of Christ. They may not all be perfect, they may not all be equal. And a church that has been going for 60 years or more versus a congregation that's basically just starting to assemble together and has no oversight is going to look very different. But you work with what you have. No leadership is perfect, but the Lord has appointed them. They are those that labor among you. They are to apply themselves in the various aspects of ministry, practical and spiritual, leading in the congregation. And they are to admonish you, he says in verse 12, admonish you. Elders are called to instruct. Often when we're preaching, we are admonishing because we're bringing matters to your attention, cautioning you in the wrong path or away from the wrong path, and encouraging you in the right path. Sometimes this admonishment is one-to-one. You have to speak to an individual in that context. And again, when you do so, admonishing is not an easy task. You don't always get it right. You try to consider what has happened or what is going on and who am I dealing with, and consider their frame and their personality. And really the goal is to lead them to where they need to be. And sometimes that context may require a very stern approach. But really what I try to understand is, what is the gentlest way I can lead this person to where they need to be? And if sometimes that requires strong language and firm approach, then so be it. But you're trying to lead them in the gentlest possible way into the right path before it becomes a matter of discipline or worse. We are to be cautious when we admonish, but not cowardly. And it takes courage at times to address individuals, to speak to them in the way that perhaps they don't want to hear. But this is the work. This is the work of the ministry. So these helpers of peace have responsibility. They labor among you and they admonish you. If you can take those two aspects of labor or of their responsibility, they labor among you and admonish you. This is what they are to do. These helpers of peace, they're endeavoring to maintain peace within the body, and they do this by their labor and by their admonishment ministry.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.